Let's go in-depth on Iowa State with the Des Moines Register.
It's time
for Cyclone Insider on 1460 KXNO.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. I'm Travis Hines, joined as always by Randy Peterson. And Randy, I thought we'd have a difficult show to fill this week, or thought we'd be talking about, you know, our last impressions of the 2021 Iowa State football season. Probably a heavy dose of your undefeated Iowa State men's basketball team and 19th ranked after winning the preseason NIT tip-off in Brooklyn over the week last week. But instead, it's siren time.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying the Notre Dame job is open.
Oh.
One of the two, three college jobs that I think we've all long assumed, thought, and been told that Matt Campbell would covet, would be interested in, would be attracted to. That job is now open after Brian Kelly shocks college football in a week where college football was shocked repeatedly by leaving for LSU and a whole boatload of money. I don't even know where to begin on this one, Randy, other than...
Oh, I do.
Then I'll hand the microphone over to you.
What was your initial reaction when you saw that Lincoln Riley... I'm still laughing. Left Oklahoma, went to USC, and then last night or this morning or at some point, you've got Joe C. and you've got the Oklahoma president saying, I wish he'd have given us more notice.
So we're going to USC here. I thought when Lincoln Riley took USC that we were done being concerned about covering a coaching search at Iowa State.
Right.
And when Castiglione said that he wished he had more time, was it Castiglione or the president?
I think it was the president.
Yeah.
And how about that?
It's, either way, I mean, it's just a
hypocritical.
Oklahoma can do what it wants with conference realignment. Lincoln Riley can do what he wants with his job, but like have a little bit of self-awareness, people. My goodness.
That's awesome. Okay, I'm sorry. So what do we want to talk about now?
I was thinking we'd talk about the Notre Dame opening. How about you?
Okay, my bad. My bad. Yeah, that was really a shocker. I mean, my gosh. I was floored. And that happened when? Just a little bit before the coaches show last night?
Yeah, I think it broke probably right around 6:30,
right
7
about
o'clock.
When it was starting, yeah. I think.
Yeah, 6:37.
Yeah, and Jamie was going to be on anyway. So, and Campbell was not on, but he wasn't scheduled to be on. I think, you know, I don't know why, but
probably because he doesn't like doing the radio show.
Maybe, but he gets paid for it. And he's in town. He was meeting with the seniors today about their futures, about what he can do for them as far as the NFL is concerned and things like that. So that's all routine. But as far as Notre Dame, my gosh, yeah. So Brian Kelly gone for a boatload of money. Like you said, $100 million over however many years.
Which when that first came out that there was contact between the two, I couldn't tell. I was skeptical that there was mutual interest. My first inclination it was, okay, LSU has whiffed on however many of its top candidates. Yeah. Lincoln Riley just pulled the ultimate switcheroo on people by going to USC, completely upstaging LSU. My thought was whether it was LSU administration or boosters was leaking that out there to let people know, hey, we're still aiming high here. We're still LSU. We're still one of the top two or three jobs. And then what, 3, 4, 5 hours later, boom.
Your words, your favorite word, boom. Yeah, exactly. And so right away, here goes the red flag, the Iowa State red flags up because – you've always said, I've always written the last, I don't know, multiple times the last 3 or 4 years that Notre Dame, that Penn State, that Ohio State would be the three college jobs that if they became open, Iowa State fans could have a Matt Campbell red flag about. And, oh my gosh, I got a couple texts right away from people, both of whom you know, saying red flag, it's red flag time. And it is. I mean, it 100% is red flag time, especially, and maybe we, whomever, were jumping to conclusions that we all know that Jamie and Matt were together Sunday night. Jamie even confirmed that on the radio show.
He confirmed a number of things.
He did.
Indirectly
awesome.
Or directly.
We can have a whole show about that, too. That was awesome. Yeah. So anyway, so Jamie confirmed that they were together. We'd heard they had dinner.
At least they spoke. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. But anyway, we heard they had dinner. But anyway, that's Jamie's MO to have dinner with people, and which is cool. I've never invited me to dinner. Probably won't either, but that's okay. So my assumption, and I don't know about you, but my assumption was, boom, we're going to get a contract extension, just kind of what we expected would happen. And lo and behold, I'm up there yesterday up in Ames for TJ's press conference and players talking to, I don't remember who we talked to, Tyrese Hunter and somebody, Brockington. And I was, you know, keeping my eye on my cell phone to see what was going on. Negotiated a contract, and Matt got more years or something, and it never came. So I went over to the where we usually go to write. I went over there, which is just upstairs from where Jamie's office is, and wrote. And I was done writing early, quick, and I just kind of hung out just to see what was going on and see who was moving around and whatnot. And there wasn't a whole lot going on over there. So then I started about 3 o'clock. I started to figure, I don't think we're going to get an extension today.
Well, let's rewind here and take people behind the scenes a little bit, because I think what happened over from really Thursday or Friday into yesterday is really indicative on our end of how most of these rumors, speculations, behind the scenes things start moving. I'd say about Thursday, I started getting people wondering about the USC job. I kind of, you know, thought, you know, obviously that's one of the best jobs in the country, but probably kind of a strange fit for Campbell. If he were to go there, it would be more about a challenge of trying to rebuild one of the better brands in college football. Probably a weird, cultural fit, just because he's a guy who's only spent, you know, his entire life in the Midwest. But, you know, you don't dismiss USC out of hand. And then on Friday, the small little chirps became an overwhelming buzz, to even the point during the game on Friday, Randy and I are huddling in the stairwell of Jack Trice Stadium, talking about everything we're hearing about Matt Campbell being connected to other jobs. And a lot of this is just industry buzz, right? You have sources who have direct knowledge, and then you have sources that are connected to people within the industry that can tell you which way the wind is blowing in conventional wisdom. And by Friday evening, the conventional wisdom was a hurricane that Campbell was connected to these jobs. And this is usually how these things go. When not behind the scenes, this is how you can get the feeling of which way things are going as you try to piece together what's really going on. And by Friday evening, during that game against TCU, there were a lot of people who were believing that Matt Campbell was quickly rising USC's wish list, which we find out, you know, may or may not have been true, given the fact that Pollard said on the radio show last night, him and Campbell were talking about California tax rates. I tend
60%
to think,
or something.
Yeah,
along
I tend
those
to think that there was something there. To what degree, we'll probably never know. But by Friday into Saturday, it felt pretty real.
Yeah, and the people we were, folks, the people that Travis and I were getting texts and emails from weren't social media people, weren't people who live and die on the internet, weren't people that run websites. They were from people within the business and within the business of the coaching carousel business, who deal directly, whose paycheck is reflective of coaching changes and working with coaches. So it was pretty legit. I mean, what we were hearing, what we were getting from them. So that's what set off, in my mind, my bells and whistles, because you're right, we'd both heard all the USC stuff before.
I mean, that job had been open for months.
Exactly.
Like, there was, like, Campbell's name was always associated with that job, but it never felt like much more than naked speculation until
And then after
last
the
week.
Game, after the game, once, you know, the questions about the seniors, the questions about the game, Purdy, Kohler, whomever. Once those questions were wrapped up, we started asking questions. You know, we made sure that those questions got asked, but then we started asking questions about about Matt's future, and one of us, I don't know who it was, it might have been me, I don't know, asked Matt, okay, Matt, your name is mentioned for a lot of jobs. What do you tell? What do you tell the recruits? Because this is a live recruiting period right now. What do you tell the recruits about that your name's out there, continues to be out there? And he essentially said the same answer that he's always said, that he's working for the, you know, the university's welfare, and he's, you know, trying to improve the team as best he can with players that culture fit the culture, and that he and Jamie would sit down to map out strategy for the program going forward, what it needs, things like that. One of the things we had also heard was that Campbell had talked. So I asked after the press conference, I asked Matt off the side as he was walking off the podium with tape recorder going, and he knew it. Have you talked to anybody, other schools? I can't remember exactly the word for word what he said, but he said Matt Campbell hasn't talked to anybody. And then he said, and then I phrased it a different way. I said, has any representation of Matt Campbell talked to anybody? And he said, as of now, Matt, or what was as of
so
now?
So far.
So far, Matt Campbell hasn't talked to anybody. And I said, okay. Now, I got back and, you know, like we do, we go write our stories, and I replayed the tape. And the so far, the words so
that,
far
that
struck
hung in the air a little bit.
It hung in the air a little bit as we were walking from one building to another Saturday night or Friday night. So I replayed the tape, and it still was there. So that was curious. That was really curious that he said so far. And so, you know.
And then Friday turns to Saturday, turns to Sunday, and talking to people around the program, it felt like there was more momentum building for an extension or some sort of new deal for Campbell. Lincoln Riley goes to USC, shuts the door on that. LSU never seemed super likely for Campbell. You know, Virginia Tech, there had been some chatter, but that never made a ton of sense to me. Washington made a little bit more sense to me because of the Chris Peterson connection, a guy I think that is, you know, universally respected in the coaching industry and world. That would be a guy that, you know, if he called Matt Campbell, Campbell's probably picking up the phone, at least having to hear what he has to say. That gets filled yesterday. And then, like you said, Randy, we're waiting Monday. I was really honestly expecting some sort of announcement by noon. Noon comes and goes, gets into Monday afternoon, and you start wondering what's going on, and things have gotten very quiet, and then the Brian Kelly news breaks. And now here we are. The Notre Dame job is open. Matt Campbell clearly is a logical candidate for the job, as is Marcus Freeman, their defensive coordinator under Brian Kelly, as is Luke Fickell, the Cincinnati coach. To me, those are the three guys that make the most sense.
Not just to you, to people.
Universally,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, some people bring up Urban Meyer. Yeah. I don't think there's any way in hell that's happening. You know, could there be a surprise candidate? We just saw Lincoln Riley go to USC and Brian Kelly go to LSU. You'd be a fool to take anything off the table, although I just did it with Urban Meyer, but which confirms me as a fool, too. I don't think any listener's surprise. But I think those are the three candidates that you're going to hear the most about in the next. I don't think this will drag on, Randy. I think considering you have an internal candidate like Marcus Freeman, who reportedly has an offer to join Kelly at LSU
for major bucks,
for big time money. You know, supposedly the reporting I saw was that LSU and Ed Orgeron offered Freeman to make Freeman the highest paid coordinator in the country last year, but he decided to go to Notre Dame instead. You know, we'll find out if that was because of Brian Kelly or because it was Notre Dame here shortly. But my guess is things move quickly, with the exception of if Cincinnati makes the college football playoff, can Notre Dame, if he's their guy, if he's the guy they want, can they wait over a month to go get him? Because I don't think this is a Brian. I mean, that's the way we haven't even talked about, Randy. Notre Dame has a serious shot at getting into the college football playoff, and Brian Kelly just dipped out. It's unbelievable. I mean, I think our colleague at USA Today, Dan Wolkin, had a really good column about, like, if you're a college football stakeholder and this doesn't scare the bejesus out of you about what this is going to do to your sport, to your product, that a coach who is conceivably could be, his program could be playing for a national title in a couple of weeks, just up and leaves, Like, that's bad for the sport. And I don't think Luke Fickell will do that with Cincinnati. So you're looking at if Cincinnati's in the college football playoff and he's Notre Dame's number one target, signing day is going to come and go without Notre Dame having a coach. January 1st is going to come and go without Notre Dame having a coach. Can they do that? Maybe. I mean, it's Notre Dame. You know, they can do things other people can't. But that stretches, I think, the imagination of what is possible in a coaching search in year 2021 or 2022.
I reached out to somebody, Dan Walken type, okay? And one of the most respected college football writers in the country, works for a website, a respected website. That's exactly what I proposed, what I asked him. How long can Notre Dame wait before naming a head coach given the recruiting signing date? To which the response was, I think it will not matter how long it takes. Assistants are being told to stay on the road. Period. And remember, it's Notre Dame. And I know you and I have briefly had this conversation during one of our 95 conversations today.
We've been on the phone a lot.
Yeah, we have. And I tend to agree with this person because it's Notre Dame. Does it really, for every, maybe this is the old school coming out of me, but it's Notre Dame. You're, this is one of those places you sign to play at the school, not necessarily for the coach. And maybe I'm 100% wrong on that, but I know that the West Point Valley player, tight end, Eli Raritan. I reread some of those stories this morning that were in the Register about him. He's a senior now, and he's going to Notre Dame. His father went to Notre Dame. He said that he didn't mention anything of substance about Brian Kelly, which is fine. That's neither here nor there. He was talking about playing in the shadow of the Golden Dome, of Touchdown Jesus, playing at Notre Dame, going someplace where his father went, one of the most respected universities on the planet. I think that still resonates with people, regardless who the head coach is going to be.
I think that's true of Notre Dame more than it's true of most places, but I only think that gets you so far. I mean, I think you're really tempting fate on really handicapping whoever takes the job if they're not able to assemble a full recruiting class that first year. Now, there's more ways than ever to fill a roster because of the transfer portal, but to miss out on a full, you know, or to have a incomplete recruiting class that first year, you're starting off in a pretty tough spot. But I agree with you. There's only a handful of places, I think, where kids really commit to some degree or another to play for the school and play for the institution. And Notre Dame's one of those, given their place in, you know, American football history. But man, wait until how do you keep all those assistants together? You know, they're probably bolting for other jobs. Like, who's there to just, you know, turn on the lights in the morning? Like, that would be what I'd worry about because, like, you know, Marcus Freeman ain't sticking around.
And they're not naming an interim.
Which is super weird.
Yeah. Because Swarbrick said today, the AD said today he had a press conference I was watching on ESPN. He said that somebody asked if the interim, if the interim would be under contention, would be in the mix to be the head coach. And he said, no, we're not naming an interim. They've got enough confidence in the staff that they can do it collectively. Somebody's got to call a timeout.
Yeah, they're not going to have a head coach if they're playing in the college football playoff.
Yeah. Like, who's going to call timeout? Who's going to call heads or tails? Who's going to determine what they call? Who's going to determine which way they go, left or right?
They're going to create a... put something on the blockchain and there'll be governance token and NFT and everybody gets a vote.
I agree with it, whatever that means.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation. Swarbrick, I think, is one of the more respected ADs across the country. So I think Notre Dame fans are probably feeling, while shocked waking up today, feeling that they're in pretty good hands with a guy that's been there for a long time, that hired Brian Kelly, that presumably is going to have all the resources, information, knowledge, support that he needs to conduct the search. They're not hiring a search firm, which I thought was interesting. Swarbrick is supposed to be, I believe, in Dallas this week, if not today, for the college football playoff expansion discussions. He's got a seat at that table. So a busy guy, but you know, if you're going to be, you know, picking the brains of people of who you think might be about what, who should your next coach be, that's probably a pretty good place to be around those other decision makers. I think the question that needs to be asked in relation to how this affects Iowa State is twofold. One, where is Matt Campbell on Notre Dame's list? And two, what does Matt Campbell say if Notre Dame comes to him with an offer? And we're going to give our thoughts on those two questions when we come back on the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO.
Everything you need to know about Iowa State, it's Cyclone Insider with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. He's Randy Peterson. I'm Travis Hines. If you missed any of our opening discussion of the Notre Dame football coach opening, be sure to check out our podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. We're going to continue that discussion now, Randy, with the questions posed in the to end the first segment. Where is Matt Campbell on Notre Dame's list, and what does Matt Campbell do if Notre Dame comes to him with an offer? For the latter, which we'll get into deeper, I think that is about as speculative as we can get, you know, given how tight Campbell keeps most of his thoughts. But in terms of where he would rank on Notre Dame's list of candidates, I think you can make a pretty strong argument for any of the three guys that we mentioned earlier, which is Campbell, their defensive coordinator, Marcus Freeman, and Cincinnati coach, Luke Fickell. I think if you're looking at it with, as those are the three main contenders, and maybe they are, maybe there's some other people, or maybe one of these or two or three of these guys aren't even on Swarbrick's list. But let's say the list is those three. I think if you're Matt Campbell and you want the job, or you're Matt Campbell's agent and you want him to get the job, the argument is Campbell has head coaching experience at the Power 5 level. He has program building experience at two different places. He's won at two different places. He has the temperament, I think, that would fit well at Notre Dame. He is a lifelong Midwesterner. He is a guy, I think, that culturally fits in well with what Notre Dame wants to do. If you're one of the other two guys, if you're Marcus Freeman, I think you sell that I'm 35 years old. I've been part of this program. I'm considered one of the great recruiters in the country. I'm considered one of the up-and-coming coaches in the country, considered one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. I'll hold this recruiting class together. I'll take us forward into the future. Like, we'll have never missed a beat, you know, after, you know, a really good run of success the last few years under Brian Kelly. If you're Luke Fickell, I think you point to the fact Cincinnati has been a repeat contender to go to the college football playoff, probably going to make it this year, that you have the pedigree of having been at Ohio State for a long time, that you've been a head football coach, that you've won at the highest levels of college football. I think all three guys have pretty strong arguments. What are your thoughts on what Notre Dame might be looking for here, and where would they slot Campbell in their priority list?
Of Campbell, I think that he would be number three in that pecking order. And I'm getting this based on a conversation or an email conversation I had with a beat reporter from a newspaper that covers Notre Dame, just like you and I do Iowa State, to which he replied to me. He said Notre Dame, I'm paraphrasing now, but he said Notre Dame's got to have a splash hire to keep up with what LSU and USC did. Notre Dame's got to be a splash. And while we, in our world, think Matt Campbell would be that splash, and possibly he would, I'm not certain they think that in South Bend. They, at least according to the person to whom I was emailing back and forth with, they need to make a huge splash. And I don't even know if Fickell is that a Fickell would be that splash. But I kind of read that email and thought about it for a while. And then I started thinking that, okay, Notre Dame is open. I don't know if a is there a they I would think that no, there's somebody almost as splashy as Lincoln Riley, almost as splashy as Brian Kelly, that would covet the Notre Dame job. I don't know who that would be. I don't have any idea who that would be. Somebody from the NFL?
I mean, it's Urban Meyer is the name. But I just, like we said before, I don't think that's likely.
Yeah.
What
about Kingsbury or somebody like that?
Cliff Kingsbury didn't win.
Is that a splash?
Tech.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But I got the impression from the reporter, the newspaper reporter, that Notre Dame needs to keep up with Notre Dame is in the of the ilk that they've got to keep up with the LSU and USC with an equal, if not better, splash.
I mean, I obviously don't know Notre Dame as well as a beat writer that covers that program 365 days a year, but I don't know that I agree with that premise. I agree with the premise that Notre Dame needs to keep up or is expected to keep up with LSU and USC in terms of
especially USC,
wins, losses, especially USC, wins, losses, championships. Yes, that is the expectation. But I don't know that there's the expectation to win the press conference, to win a splashy hire. I mean, you go back, was Brian Kelly a splashy hire? I mean, like the only splashy hire I can remember Notre Dame making in my lifetime, which, you know, admittedly, I mean, they don't go through coaches that often, but it was Charlie Weiss is like the splashy hire I can remember them making. And obviously, that did not work out well for the Fighting Irish. Yeah, I don't think, you know, any of the other hires that they've made in the last 25, 30 years, you know, have really been all that splashy. I mean, I don't remember, but growing up in Minnesota, I mean, there was a lot of dislike for Lou Holtz for leaving Minnesota to go to Notre Dame. And again, like if you're taking the Minnesota coach, not exactly a splashy hire there. So I don't know that historically that's been a place where you necessarily go get a big name. It's where you go get a damn good football coach, a guy that can win football games, that can recruit to South Bend, Indiana. And I think any of the three guys that we've mentioned as these top candidates.
Right. And
when I say Campbell's
number three, that's not dissing Matt Campbell. That's not dissing Matt Campbell at all.
How dare you?
No, I wouldn't do that. You know what I feel about him. I would not do that. It's just the different perceptions that we have of Matt Campbell compared to what at least one beat reporter to whom I was exchanging emails has.
The way I look at it is that Notre Dame football is in a really good place right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you need, I think the priority would be, if I'm Jack Swarbrick, is continuity and stability. Which means two things. It can mean the defensive coordinator, the guy that's been part of that program and helping, you know, put it now in the position where if the dominoes fall the right way this weekend, they're playing in the college football playoff. Or it's a guy like Campbell that's proven he can win in Power 5 football. He got Iowa State to the Big 12 championship game last year, won a Fiesta Bowl over, you know, not a great Oregon team, but still a great Oregon program. And Fickell to me is a bigger question mark because he's doing it at Cincinnati. Like those Cincinnati teams are awesome. I think they should be in the college football playoff. But I do think it is the grind of that conference versus the grind of the Big 12, the grind of a Notre Dame independent schedule are two very different things. Which is not to say Luke Fickell couldn't do it. I'm just saying we haven't seen him do it. Where we've seen Campbell do it and we've seen Marcus Freeman be a part of a staff that has done it. So to me, those are the two that stand out. I think Campbell, with the head coaching experience, probably has the slight nod there, where if I was making the decision, that I would look heavily at that.
And a staff to bring. That's key, too.
And that is a very key. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we're getting over our skis here a little bit, but if Campbell were to get the job, we saw what he did when he left Toledo, brought damn near the whole staff with him. It stayed pretty well
he
intact.
Tried to, and Jason Candle, too. He had him for a few hours. And then he got offered the job. Yeah.
Stayed pretty well intact now through 6 years. Anybody that's left has, it made sense. It wasn't like he was losing, you know, staff left and right. It mostly is still intact. I would imagine he would try to do much the same thing to go to Notre Dame. You can hit the ground running. You've got your staff continuity. And I think that's probably the biggest question with Freeman. You know, can he staff up, you know, only being 35 years old, never having been a head coach? Like, I think that's, he probably could do it. He's well respected within the industry that like people are going to want to come work for him at a place where people want to come work. But Campbell can say day one, I got a staff ready to go, be on the recruiting trail, shore up our signing class in December and then be ready to go in spring without really missing much of a beat. That's the way I see it. How do you think Campbell looks at this job if Notre Dame comes to him and says, here's, I mean, we think Kelly was making, what, 7.5 a year? Let's say they offer him that, 7.5 a year. That's not quite doubling what he's making at Iowa State, but it's a lot more than $4 million.
And I don't think it's, and I don't know if it's 100% about the money. I'm sure it's not 100% about the money.
I think Campbell's proven that he's not
chasing
dollars here to the end all be all.
And he's not a job hopper. He's been at Iowa State 6 years, which is, there's only been four or five Iowa State coaches there longer than him, longer than 6 years. So, what would Campbell say if, what was the question? What they say if he offered? If Notre Dame, I would certainly, if it's, yeah, I would certainly say he would say yes. That would be my gut reaction, because that would go along with what I've written over the last few years, obviously. But yeah, I think that he would entertain that offer. And yeah, it would be tough to leave Iowa State also, but it's in the mid, it's still in the Midwest, the Midwestern values. He can raise, Matt and Erica can raise the kids in South Bend. And I don't know how much of a difference raising kids in South Bend is than raising kids in central Iowa, but nonetheless, yeah. If you're a coach, isn't that, I don't want to say a dream, but isn't that a huge deal to go coach at one of the most prestigious universities in the world?
My deal would be, if they're offering whatever they offer, let's again say, 7 years, 7.5 per, or 7 per. If you're turning that down right now, where your roster at Iowa State is about to turn over, where you're entering a better Big 12 future than we thought could be the case a few months ago, but still an uncertain Big 12 future. If you're turning down Notre Dame right now, what job are you saying yes to? And I don't know that Matt Campbell is an Iowa State lifer. Maybe he is. But, we heard Jamie Pollard last night say maybe something comes up that's the right fit for the right reason and Campbell leaves. It was not a Matt Campbell is an Iowa State lifer. It sounded very much to me like the same Jamie Pollard that was talking about Fred Hoiberg a few months before Hoiberg left for the Bulls. Maybe it turns out differently, but those were the vibes I was getting.
If he turns down.
And if you turn down this, what other jobs are you looking for? And maybe you're not. Maybe you're looking to keep the job that you have right now, for the foreseeable future. Because it's hard to imagine for Campbell. And again, we're guessing at what the man wants for his career and for his family. But what other situation would you be looking for in college? Maybe it's the NFL, but like, this is setting up, if they were to offer him a huge money deal, like, that's probably, again, like we've talked about, one of the premier jobs and one of the jobs a lot of people have thought would interest Campbell. And this seems like a pretty good situation if he were offered the job.
If he has the chance, if he's offered the job, and if he turns it down, then there's only one job that I think he's, then that list of mine is down to one college job. And we all know what that is.
Ohio State.
Absolutely. It's down to one college job. There's no question. Because he's already turned down, I don't know how many schools in Florida.
Florida State, Tennessee.
Yeah, exactly. Tennessee, Arkansas.
I think we've gotten to double-digit NFL franchises that have at least called.
So he's already turned a lot of people down. And which also you can make an argument, well, he's already turned those down. Why wouldn't he turn down Notre Dame?
Those aren't Notre Dame.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And I don't know that anywhere is going to offer, would have already offered $7 million
right.
plus
a year. But Matt Campbell didn't hold the cards here. How would you like to be in that situation where you don't hold the cards? You're out there at being held hostage, because Marcus Freeman, he's got the card. He's got the card right in the middle of the table. Do you want this job? Or Marcus Freeman says, I've got a chance to go to LSU for a couple million dollars to be a coordinator. Do you want me? I've got a couple million dollars in my back pocket here if you don't. What do you want to do? So that's why I'm thinking this could be done in 24 hours or 48 hours. I'm hoping it is, but Swarbrick said there's no timeline today also.
Yeah, I mean, I would think, though, like Brian Kelly's going to want an answer.
Exactly, because they've got recruiting, yes.
So I think there's going to be, I don't think this thing drags on very long. We haven't even mentioned, oh, by the way, the Oklahoma job's open, which is a pretty damn good job, too.
Yeah, my God.
There's a lot going on.
And Kiffin's already said he's staying. He's not going. I mean, so, yeah, they're going to talk Stoops into taking that job.
We'll see what happens, obviously.
Well, Mark Stoops said he's staying at Kentucky,
too.
Yeah,
he signed a new deal that with a forever rollover, you know, as long as they win 7 games.
Bobby Stoops, welcome to back.
I mean, he sounded pretty excited yesterday.
Why not?
At that press conference. Well, I mean, that was a lot of saying we don't know what's happening. We don't know what's going to happen. But I think we laid out the situation here facing Iowa State, facing Notre Dame, facing Matt Campbell. You know, we'll see how this unfurls here over the next minutes, hours, days. I don't think it'll be weeks, but we'll find out. But when we come back, we're going to switch gears, having covered the Campbell-Notre Dame-Iowa State triangle, to talk about T.J. Otzelberger's undefeated Iowa State Cyclones and 19th ranked Iowa State Cyclones when we come back on the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO.
Everything you need to know about Iowa State, it's Cyclone Insider with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. Travis Hines, Randy Peterson here. If you missed any of our extensive discussion about Matt Campbell, Iowa State, and Notre Dame, I would strongly suggest you head over to your favorite podcast app to listen to Randy and I break down the situation as we currently see it. But for the last few minutes of the show here, we're going to go and move across campus up in Ames over to the Sukup Basketball Complex to talk about the 6-0 Iowa State Cyclones that are now ranked 19th in the country after knocking off Xavier and Memphis in Brooklyn last week. Randy, you were up there yesterday to talk to Otzelberger and some players. My guess is that they were even keeled and demurring about the importance of being ranked. But it can probably not be overstated how shocking this is to see this team 6-0
after going 2-22.
After going 2-22 last year, after overhauling the roster and not really having an established star, and getting star turns from Tyrese Hunter, from Isaiah Brockington, and Gabe Kalscher early on in the season, I'll be real interested to see how sustainable this is. And I'm not poo-pooing them at all. It's just 6 games is not very many games. We haven't seen them play on the road. We've only seen them play 3 high major opponents, one of which is pretty bad in Oregon State. But there is no doubting that they were really, really good in Brooklyn against Xavier and against Memphis. I don't know what to make of this team, but holy cow, is the first month of the T.J. Otzelberger era on fire.
Yeah, and they're doing it with defense. I mean, and I told you all along this team would win with defense.
I've heard that before. Let's see how the offense goes. But geez, if they get 30 point scorers, you know, every game, that'll go a long way.
I was actually kidding there because I've always been the offensive guy. I don't care about defense. I remember saying they spend too much time on defense when they were going through their 1-for-25 3-point shooting or whatever it was. But anyway, that was more for comedy than anything else, I guess. But it's certainly surprising to me. What was that stat yesterday? They're one of only 4 teams in the country that had beaten multiple ranked teams, which is, you know, it's only 6 games. It's a small sample size, but still it's kind of impressive for a team that was absolutely horrible last year. And, I was up there yesterday, and that was before the ratings came out. I kind of figured they'd be rating, so I asked the players and TJ about what would a rating mean. You know, Brockington was there, and like I said, Brockington and Hunter were there, and we talked to them separately, and they both essentially said the same thing, that yeah, it'd be cool, but it's not the be all end all. There's only 6 games into the season. They haven't played a Big 12 game yet. They were very realistic about it. And that's, you know, we'd heard that Tyrese Hunter was mature well beyond his years in that kind of respect. And yeah, the way he answered that question was really cool. I mean, I think he's the one that said, we haven't even started the Big 12 yet. So, you know, hold your horses. Yeah, it's good. It'll be interesting to see how Iowa State comes out tomorrow night against somebody, Arkansas Pine Bluff at 7 o'clock at Hilton. You know, it'll be their first game since upsetting two rated opponents. Boy, was Memphis bad? Oh my gosh! But Iowa State probably had something
Tyler
to do with
Harris
it.
Harris was.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot. Or Iowa State probably has something to do with that, nonetheless. But the competition steps up after Wednesday at Creighton, and the Hawks come to Hilton. And then you've got a couple more podos, and then you're into it on whatever that is, January 1st
against the reigning
national champions.
To me, the thing, obviously the 6-0 record's impressive. Obviously what they did in Brooklyn and beating the hell out of Memphis is impressive. But maybe the thing, if you're an Iowa State fan, that I would be most bullish about this actually being a team that could sustain over the course of the next 3 months is the fact that they have an identity.
Mm-hmm.
They play together. They play really intense defense. And they have shown the ability to be led offensively by different guys. And I think that is a formula for winning some games. How many? I don't know. And can they sustain that formula? I don't know. I'm certainly not ready to be bought in and start, you know, pounding the table about the NCAA tournament or anything like that. But I do think and again, we've said this going back to March, that this season is not going to be about wins and losses. And maybe I am proven wrong about that when we get into February and it becomes about wins and losses, about getting into the NCAA tournament. Those are the things you have to talk about when a team is 6-0 and ranked 19th in the country. But if that doesn't sustain, it's about creating a foundation, building a culture, developing these players. And again, only 6 games in, only 3 weeks into the season, but the early returns are really strong about being able to accomplish that core mission of this inaugural season, of this first season of a complete rebuild. I think that core mission is very much intact, and the early returns are very good. If they can achieve more beyond that ahead of schedule, that's great. But I think if you're an Iowa State fan, I would not lose sight of that core mission for this season. And I think what I've seen so far would make me very bullish about creating that foundation if I'm an Iowa State fan.
Right, and part of that foundation is how they recruit going forward. And starting out 6-0 has got to be catching some of those recruits' eyes. I believe the Georgetown player that entered the portal, I think he's deciding tomorrow. I think he's announcing, and Iowa State's one of the three. What's his name? Eli, what's his name? Georgetown.
King, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's deciding tomorrow. So he's got to be. He was in Ames win on a
Trey King. Yeah, he was here. Would have been the last home game, whatever that was. Yeah. Grambling State, I believe.
Yeah. So he was here. So yeah, he's got to be somewhat impressed. And with 6-0, you know, that's got to be catching some of those kids' eyes. And plus, will we be talking about TJ going elsewhere? I'll help with that one. No, this is TJ's destination job. We won't be going through this with him. You don't believe me. I know you don't. You're always skeptical of stuff I say like that. TJ as well as I do.
I've seen too much, Randy. I've seen too much.
I'm the one that's seen too much.
Wait a minute. Let's not even start this discussion. Let's not even go down this path.
We don't have to.
There's no reason.
It will never get there.
There's no reason.
It won't get there.
Let's timestamp this right now. Forever is a long time, my friend.
On his behalf, he's not leaving on his own.
I'm not even entertaining this discussion. He's six games into his career. I'm not putting him elsewhere or leaving him there.
What bowl's Iowa State going to? Shut up.
I'm leaning towards Houston. What do you think?
I'm not leaning towards, but I'm afraid it's going to be Orlando.
Yeah, I feel like Orlando would definitely be better for fans. It's still in the holiday season. January 4th, the Houston Bowl on a Tuesday.
You can't go if you got kids.
That's pretty difficult. Yeah. Orlando to me is not a great destination. Iowa State was just there 2 years ago, but you know, when you finish 7-5, you go where you're told, I suppose.
Yeah. And so I guess we find out on Saturday. So
This has been the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. For Randy Peterson, I'm Travis Hines. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.